How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Brush Brigade, the audio adventures. I am your host, Amadi Gray, and today I will be guiding you through this high fantasy adventure of tooth fairies that do battle against evil black monsters. Yes, you heard it right. Brush Brigade is a high fantasy series about a team of tooth fairies embarking on various missions to defend children's teeth from evil forces who seek to rot them. Bibi, the daughter of the Queen Tooth Fairy, is making her way up the ranks and becoming the greatest defender to ever live. However, with new enemies emerging, stronger than Bibi and friends have ever faced before, will they have what it takes to keep their mystical dimension safe? Find out on Brush Brigade. If you like titles like Disney's Frozen and Star Wars, this is the perfect audio series for you to immerse yourself in. But before we get started, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and check out our other titles by visiting amadibrands.com. So without further ado, let's dive in. Episode 1, The Return of Cavatina. Most tooth fairies would be out collecting teeth during this late hour, but not this one. Silence filled the cold halls of the Brush Brigade guardhouse, the massive facility where all monsters are held captive until leaders of Bristleville interrogate them. A long series of questioning in hopes to find out what Emperor Decay's next move might be, evil plans that may threaten their dimension. Deep within the guardhouse, a cloaked figure emerges out of a purple spiral that took form, descending 3 feet to the ground without making a single sound, floating down gracefully like magic. Hooded, the figure lifts the side of his cloak to reveal a tiny red and black toothpaste-like creature with one horn on the top of its head. This creature resembled that of a small dragon, which would also remind you of an erupting volcano. "All right, Kanik, we've made it, but we're not out of the woods just yet," the mysterious figure whispers as he takes his companion out from hiding in his cloak.
"Kanik," the creature responds a bit louder than a whisper.
"Keep your voice down, Kanik. If we're spotted, we will be in big trouble with Decay."
"Can,"
the creature responds a bit quieter this time.
The figure releases his hold of Kanik as the creature begins floating mid-air as if it's swimming. The figure takes his two hands and lifts his hood from the top of his head, revealing his identity. His straight but short brown hair with gray streaks settled again after his hood departed from the top of his head. His tired, pale eyes begin scanning the hall. They emerge in a small area where there weren't any signs of surveillance. The young-looking fairy, Duke, begin to make his way down the halls, along with his partner, Kanik. Minutes later, a camera is seen adjusting its focus on some sort of movement. As it zooms in, all it's able to pick up is a speck of dust that is falling inches from the ground. That speck coming directly from Duke's cloak. The camera doesn't pick up the cloak or the two trespassers. Duke's cloak isn't just a regular cloak. It holds a special ability that grants him the power of invisibility. The worn-down cloak was given to him long ago by someone who he is attempting to rescue on this secret mission of his. Arriving at the destination, still covered by the magical cloak, Duke stands directly in front of a prison cell, much larger than the others, locked. However, there wasn't a single person inside. Instead, a purple jar placed in the center of the cement walls. This jar had several chains attached to it, glowing with a golden light. The expression on Duke's face showed that he understood exactly what was going on, and that these chains were emitting energy from a sealing spell that he was assigned to break. "Party time," Duke says, just moments before raising his two hands up in the air and letting out a subtle grunt. Just then, the room begins to spin and distort, as if solid objects were moving out of place. But just as soon as it began, it quickly came to a stop. Duke let out a sigh of relief, as if he wasn't worried about making too much noise any longer. Kanik burst from the cloak with excitement.
The spell Duke performed created a duplicate multidimensional view of their surroundings. Surveillance cameras, as well as individuals apart from the spell, would only see empty halls and secured chambers, with nothing out of the ordinary going on.
Canic!
You're right, it worked perfectly, Duke said, while successfully picking the lock to the cell door with a special technique, then walking confidently inside. Canic peeked over Duke's shoulder as they both gazed at the wonderfully crafted purple jar.
You might want to stand back for this one, Duke turns to Canic and says. Canic quickly floats a few feet away.
Ha!
Duke roared as he gripped his right wrist with his left hand, spreading his fingers out wide as he directed his palm at the purple jar. The ground began to shake. His hand began to tremble from the toll the spell was taking on him. Concerned, Canic began to inch forward to see if he could offer any help.
Stay put, Canic,
Duke says as he begins to grind his teeth, closing one of his eyes as a drop of sweat rolls down the side of his face.
Release!
Duke shouted, just as the chains break and the sealed purple jar shatters into pieces. Duke falls to one knee, trying to catch his breath, exhausted by the number of spells he had been performing in such a short amount of time.
Well done, my son, a wicked voice said, with her cold tone piercing the air.
Duke looked up, shocked to see a dark yet beautiful fairy standing before him, dressed in distressed black and purple garments. She elegantly walks up to and then beside Duke, placing her hand on the side of his face, running down to his chin gracefully as she looks straight ahead.
We have a lot of work to do, young one, the tall female tooth fairy states, tilting Duke's head upward slightly with her fingers.
She turns her head to meet Duke's eyes, which have locked with his reawakened mother, Cavatina.
Beep!
Access had just been granted to two Brush Brigade defenders, Captain McCoy and Faye. The high-tech door to the front entrance of the guardhouse slides open as the heroes enter the cold halls of the facility. With them are two gunky monsters that they have captured on their previous mission. Gunkies are mischievous little brown plaque monsters that come in a variety of shapes and sizes. If you're not careful, they will blast you with their gunk shot and have you stuck in place due to its sticky substance. Normally, high-level defenders like McCoy and Faye only have to deliver gunkies that they capture to the guardhouse, where security then takes over by booking them and guiding them to their cells. However, McCoy, being the ambitious go-getter and having served as a guard back in his days, makes it a habit to go the extra mile.
Faye, we really outdid ourselves with this one, Captain McCoy chanted as he and his partner marched down the hall with their captives.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been great if I didn't get gunk all in my hair. I just need to take a shower, so let's hurry this up,
Faye demands with her undying attitude. Faye is the niece of Commander Quest, the strict, dark-skinned tooth fairy, in charge of running the entire defense division of the Brush Brigade. It is rumored that Faye receives special treatment from Quest, but in reality, she is one of the most skilled in her division, which led her to be promoted to Floss Force, the Special Forces. It is rare to see her wearing any other color than pink.
Meh,
McCoy responds by making a silly sound mocking Faye. Simply because he was the reason, now she had to deal with gunk goo in her hair. He also didn't have anything smart to respond with. McCoy wore a yellow vest and a hat with a shiny tooth hovering over it like magic. The mystical rope that tied the gunkies captive together was wrapped around his brown leather vambraces as he led them. Moments later, McCoy slowly comes to a stop, looking over to the right, far down the hall with a confused look on his face. McCoy had been in the game for a while, highly respected by Commander Quest himself, although he acts way too goofy to be captain to Faye and the rest of B-Squad, he knows how to handle a situation when he needs to.
Why are we stopping? Faye shouts.
Shh, McCoy swiftly responds, holding a finger up as he continues to look off into the distance.
Faye immediately knows something is wrong due to McCoy's sudden shift in mood.
There is someone else we need to release before we leave,
Cavatina says as she walks over to the cell directly beside hers, which also contained a jar, but this one was green and gray. Cavatina merely glares at the jar as it bursts into pieces. Duke stands in amazement at his mother's power, wondering what else she could possibly be capable of. As the dust settles, a massive granite beast emerges, taking its first steps onto the ground, then kneeling before Cavatina. It lets out a force of air through its oddly shaped nostrils that were audible 7 feet from where Duke and Kanik were standing. "Duke, Kanik, meet Moldor," Cavatina announces as she smirks with a sinister look in her eyes. "Fairies that don't belong here, meet Brush Brigade," Captain McCoy announces heroically as he stands defensively behind the dark party with their gunky captives fidgeting. Alarmed, Duke, Kanik, and Mulder swiftly turn to see that they were discovered. Cavatina, still facing the other direction, begins to laugh. "Oh, McCoy, I'm surprised that you were able to see through this high-level spell such as this," Cavatina says. A cold terror runs through McCoy's body as he hears her voice. McCoy struggles, as Faye looks over at him stunned, never having seen him in a state like this before. You could hear how tight McCoy then gripped the rope he was holding. "Belonging? My boy. This was my home long before it was yours," Cavatina continues. "Faye, listen to me. I can see through it, but I can't break this lair spell. Guards wouldn't be able to see anything going on this hall right now, let alone be able to help. This is a very bad situation we found ourselves in, and having you stay would only be a distraction." "What are you saying?" Faye interrupts. "Get out of here. Go alert Quest and B-Squad immediately. That's the only way we save Bristleville," Captain McCoy instructs. Silence fills the air as tension rises, both sides staring each other down.
I can't leave. Go!" shouts McCoy. Just then, Duke swiftly drops his magical cloak over himself and disappears as Kanik grows 10 times his size and rushes towards McCoy and Faye. McCoy darts forward, meeting Kanik halfway, locking arms, sending powerful pulses of energy across the room. Faye begins to take off towards the nearest emergency exit. "Stop her," Cavatina instructs Moldor with a monotone voice. The big and bulky Moldor launches towards Faye a lot faster than you think he'd be able to move. "No!" McCoy shouts, looking over to see the incoming attack. Being a lot smaller than the fearsome evolved Kanik, McCoy maneuvered himself under Kanik's arm, summoning massive toothbrush-like pillars to pin the beast down. McCoy leaps forward, on track to intercept Moldor from reaching Faye. Kanik working to successfully break free from bondage. "Not so fast," the invisible Duke says as he kicks McCoy down from his launch and makes him hit the ground, breaking a few tiles and having his leather van braces fall off. Duke then throws off his cloak and rushes over to Faye. McCoy is in pain. Being in a panic state, completely forgetting about the tactical play from the young Tooth Fairy that started this exchange. McCoy grinds his teeth, trying to get back to his feet, watching as Faye is snatched up by the granite beast, Moldor, and approached by Duke. "Defeated so easily?" Cavatina says as she instantly appears beside McCoy, rendering him immobile with just the look of her eyes. McCoy begins to hover over the ground by Cavatina's power, stiff and in pain. "We will take them," Cavatina states as the captive gunkies run toward her with their worship and praise. "Ah, my little warriors, I will make you stronger than you could ever imagine," Cavatina continues as Moldor walks over with the substance slowly oozing from his arm onto the gunkies. The large Kanik holding an unconscious Faye with Duke standing close by. The gunkies begin to evolve before their eyes from the effect the slimy ooze was having on them. "Yes! Yes!" Cavatina laughs as a portal begins to open. "BB, Buck, Beezle," McCoy utters just before he passes out.
The group enters the portal and vanishes without a trace. The surveillance cameras zoom in to detect some sort of movement, but only can pick up a speck of dust that has fallen inches from the ground. The halls and the chambers, nothing out of the ordinary going on. Just a small cell with a chained up, wonderfully crafted purple jar.
And that is it for episode one of Brush Brigade, the audio series. Episode one started this series off with a bang, introducing a few of our main characters and a few new villains. To keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe and follow us on all social media at Amati Brands. You can also check out updates of the show and recaps by watching Adventure Beyond and the Amati Brands podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you again next time on the Brush Brigade podcast.